Snap Judgment producer Joe Rosenberg recently read an article in The Billfold by Mike Hobb, and it was about just such a situation. Joe wondered how it might play out if we adapted said article for the snap. Well, Joe, wonder no more. Snap Judgment.
The first thing that happens is somebody tells you. It's my first day back at work after a week on vacation. I notice the candle on the reception desk just as the whoosh of the door blows it out. I wonder why they never did that for my birthday. Dominic and Naomi are here already, sitting at opposite desks. Naomi moved here 3 months ago from Australia. She still has that new hire enthusiasm. She still says things like, "This is gonna be such a great project, you guys." We're all waiting for it to wear off. "Mike, don't open your emails," Dominic says. Then I notice that our office has a candle in it, too. "You need to know," he says, "that Colin has passed away." Colin in marketing. The guy at the back of the external relations office. It turns out last Monday, Colin didn't show up to work. On Tuesday, his boss told HR. On Thursday, the office manager went to his apartment and found his body. They didn't want to tell his coworkers right before the weekend, so they waited till Monday. "Colin was depressed," Dominic says. "He had some emotional problems. So it looks like... Are you saying he killed himself?" "Nothing's clear right now." "I barely knew Colin. He's at two offices down from me, but we never worked on anything together. We never existed to each other after 5 p.m. Our relationship consisted in its entirety of work-related small talk in the break room while his lunch rotated behind us in the microwave. I stare at my keyboard for a second. I don't know what else to do, so I type in my password, I open Outlook. There's the announcement from our managing director and an invite from comms asking us to record our memories of Colin. Naomi's still looking at me. "So, how was your vacation?" The next thing that happens is we are terrible. "I don't want to say I saw it coming or anything, but it's not exactly out of the blue." This is Bill. He runs our Twitter feed. The roof of our building is the size of a soccer field, but we're huddled together by the door, hoods up, facing away from the wind. Bill's the only one smoking. The rest of us are just listening. "They were working him too hard," says Will, one of the copy editors. "Marketing's way understaffed." I've been having conversations like this all over the building. It's Wednesday, 2 days since they announced Colin died. And this is how we've spent it. Bunched up in corners, whispering things to each other to see if they're true. Sarah from finance wonders if Colin's death has anything to do with the department restructuring. Mark in HR heard Colin hasn't taken a vacation for 2 years. Tina from photos heard Colin moved here to study economics, but dropped out because he couldn't do the math. "You know they changed his job title without consulting him," Bill says, and the rest of us nod solemnly. "He was gay," I say. "Do you think that had anything to do with it?" I only found this out yesterday, when Dominic mentioned Colin's boyfriend had been notified. Everyone else knew it already, but I wondered if it connected us somehow, the only two gays at the office. Could I have reached out to him? That lasted about 3 minutes. "The weird thing is," says Jessica, the receptionist, "Colin doesn't even strike me as the unhappiest person here. I would have put him way down the list. Like, look at Chris in online. That guy puts in earbuds when he walks to the bathroom." "Check out Dawn in legal," Bill says. "The cleaning ladies have to come to his desk every night just to vacuum up all the fingernails." "I saw Lucy talking to the external relations director yesterday," Jessica says. "I think she's applying for his job."
"I hope it's not her," Bill says. "Remember that presentation she gave at the annual meeting?"
We all laugh. Bill lights another cigarette, and that gives us all permission to stay out here at least 5 more minutes. The next thing that happens is we mourn. It's Thursday. 3 days since they told us about Colin. It's 10 a.m., our weekly staff meeting. I'm leaning against the floor-to-ceiling windows looking out onto our courtyard. Naomi, the new girl, is sitting next to me, eyes red like she's already been crying. At the front, Colin's picture is projected on the wall. The senior management team is sitting in suits at the big conference table, each with their own box of tissues. For the last 2 days, comms has been recording employees talking about Colin, how they want to remember him. Today we're going to watch the video. "I've heard some speculation about the cause of Colin's death," the managing director says from the front. "It stops now," Colin died of natural causes. When we know the exact cause of death, we'll let you know. The video begins with Colin's work. Excerpts of promos he made, products he launched, conference presentations he gave. Then the rest is testimonials from his colleagues. They're played in reverse hierarchical order. Interns, then co-workers, then bosses. They describe working with Colin. The time they bumped into him at the printer. The time he wrote something nice in their birthday card. The time they sat together on an overnight flight to a conference in South Korea.
I always said hi to Colin when I passed him in the hall, says someone on the video.
Colin's boss is on vacation this week. He recorded a message by webcam. He's lying on his side on a hotel bed, and he's talking about the clarity of Colin's press releases as palm trees shudder in the wind behind him.
I wish I'd gotten to know him better, he says. He seemed nice.
Naomi stops crying at that exact moment. She makes a little huh sound, like the DVR just froze in the middle of Titanic. I turn my head out the window, and there's a huge piece of bird crap on the windowsill. People are still talking on the video. The last clip is the managing director, chest heaving, telling the camera how Colin prepped him for his first TV interview.
Don't gesture so much,
Colin told him.
Gesturing looks awkward on TV. Emphasize with your words, not your hands.
The managing director did his interview a whole hour with his hands in his lap. Afterwards, he asked Colin,
how did I do?
And Colin said,
you were like a statue up there. Why didn't you use your hands?
And we all laugh, and the camera turns off, and the screen shows Colin's picture again. The next thing that happens is it makes us close. After the staff meeting, we shut the door to our office, and Naomi asks me if that was my first funeral. The first one at work, anyway, I say. I tell her about my last one, for my godmother who got brain cancer when I was 12. Did you know her well? Naomi asks. In whatever way kids know adults, I guess. I mostly remember her mac and cheese. Then I ask Naomi, and she tells me about the principal of her Catholic school, who died in a car accident when she was 7. It was her first funeral, and she raised her hand in the middle of a eulogy to ask a question. As she's telling it, I realize I never knew she went to Catholic school. It's like this the rest of the week. Maybe it's because the managing director ordered us to stop speculating, or maybe everyone else saw the video like I did, felt the same urgency to populate this place. But we stop talking about Colin, and we start talking about us. On the roof, Bill tells me his parents died when he was 22. He had just finished his first triathlon, and he was so tired he fell asleep on the note his roommate left on his bed. He woke up, pulled it out from under the covers, and read it, still in his little running shorts. Dominic lives in the same direction as me, and on Friday we ride our bikes together, side by side, like cowboys. He tells me about the cat he buried in his backyard when he was 7. I dug him up 2 years ago, he says, and he was just this box of bones. He takes his hands off the handlebars and makes two fists in his mittens to show me its size. Then he peels off towards home. The last thing that happens is we forget. Monday morning, I walk past marketing and I hear someone say, did you see Jessica crying at the staff meeting? She barely even knew him. Did Naomi send the agenda last week for the meeting with research? Dominic asks. I don't think so, I say. With everything happening last week, she must have forgotten. Well, if people are going to be here, they might as well be working. It's not that we forget, it's just that we're done remembering together. As the memorial fades from memory, our dead colleague becomes just another thing we think about but don't say. No one ever tells us how he died. I come back to the office and I ask Dominic if he had any other pets growing up, or just that one cat. What? What cat? The one you buried in the backyard. Did you guys get another one after that? Look, do you have the action points from the strategy consultation? If you don't send those to marketing, they're just going to sit up in that office and do nothing like they always do. Naomi is sitting there listening to us. I didn't realize it before, but she hasn't said anything enthusiastic in a while. A few weeks later, she quits. I'm going back to my old job in Adelaide, she says. We're sitting on the stoop of a church near work, with styrofoam coffee cups, watching the rain drip from the awning. Why? I ask. Do you remember Colin? I tell her I barely knew him. Neither did I, she says. But do you remember the week after he died?
For the first time, we talk about the memorial, how we were with each other afterwards, how we're not anymore. I keep making these pledges to get to know people here, she says. And then in the very next second, I know that I'm not going to, that it's too hard. At least back in Australia, I have family waiting for me at the end of the day. I feel like we should hug or something, but instead, I stand up, I take the empty coffee cup out of Naomi's hand, and I throw it in the trash. The last time we talk about Colin at work is in a budget meeting. It's 6 weeks since he died. Dominic and I are in the conference room with marketing, getting an overview of our spending before the quarterly board meeting. We're all looking at a big Excel sheet, following the numbers with our pencils. What's this $40,000 that appeared in the budget in February? Dominic asks. That's Colin, says Bill. Dead people don't get salaries, so Colin's appears as a surplus. Okay, Dominic says. And that's it. We just move through the rest of the spreadsheet. I think about looking up, making eye contact across the table, sharing an acknowledgement of the moment that just passed. But I don't.
Thank you so much, Mike Hobb. That piece was adapted from a story on thebillfold.com. We'll have a link on snapjudgment.org. It was produced by Joe Rosenberg with sound design by Pat Mesiti-Miller.